Good morning. Today is a Wednesday. It's the 17th of August. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Madrone. Good morning.
Good morning, all your listeners.
You're almost wearing camo today.
Yeah, well, we get some...
The dark brown there, you're getting a little smoke, and you're just going to kind of disappear.
Well, for your viewers, you might know that I've got sunglasses on, because Brian's got such a bright-colored Hawaiian shirt on. That
All right, are you ready for... Why do we say it? I need yours.
Yeah, so, I'm yes, ready. Okay. You bet. When you are.
This is interesting. Why do we say character?
Character. I'm not sure. Most of these stump me.
Yeah, well, that's...
That's the whole idea, right?
You'd stump everybody so we kind of all learn together.
The origin of the word, yeah.
Metal workers of classical Greece developed a special tool used in marking. In time, such a character or instrument, whose name was altered in passing through several languages, came to designate any mark made by it. Medieval courts made such use of characters. Convicted of murder, a person given penal servitude instead of the gallows was branded with the character M. In the same fashion, an arsonist's forehead or shoulder would be bearing the character A. Anyone branded by authorities was marked for life. One glance at a character told the stranger what offense had been committed. As a result, the term indicating a branded letter came to stand for the sum total of a person's moral qualities.
Oh, Lord.
Or character.
Oh, boy. Wait a minute. What is that letter on your forehead?
Yeah. B for B. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's kind of faded Brian. Over time. Well, that would be, it's a little too severe, I think, by today's standards.
You think?
But if we had people who were doing, you know, some of these drug crimes and... Yeah, some of the more serious things,
yeah.
I would suggest that physical pain might slow up a percentage of them.
Yeah.
We'd never be able to do it,
right.
I'm sure, but, you know, something. We were down in, what was it, Santa Rosa on Friday at a local branded food chain store.
Mm.
Starts with an S, but I won't say which one it is.
Right.
And we're there, and Angie's getting coffee, and... We hear one of the helpers say, "Sir, put that back. Take that. You know, put that out of your backpack and put it in the freezer."
Oh. Okay.
And we looked over, and the kid just zipped up his backpack, and started walking towards the door.
Huh.
And they had to walk past us. I stepped in front, and he wouldn't make eye contact at all.
Yeah, but he had
kept walking. Went past three other workers out in the parking lot.
Wow.
So that, as you might imagine, began a little discussion.
Yeah.
And so he comes in twice a day, every day. And if we shut one of the doors down, he'll go to the other one.
Wow.
We've been told not to touch, mm-hmm. not to do anything. Don't get in the way. Don't engage more than what we're doing.
Yeah.
But the frustration level has been high enough that customers have chased some of these clowns down in the parking lot and taken the items back and brought them back into the store.
Wow.
And it happened to be all gals at the time, but,
yeah.
but the six or seven gals that were there say that's part of the reason why food costs are so high.
Certainly.
These people just come in and they take and yeah. they know they're not going to be stopped and there's nothing we can do and everybody gets frustrated and they keep, you know, kind of like reinforcing the behavior.
Yeah.
And it's over and over and yeah. over and over. Obviously, Santa Rosa's got a problem like Eureka has.
Certainly.
And you just wonder how much of our costs are being accelerated,
absolutely.
Not because of some of the things that we think about, but because of some of the lenient laws.
Well, you hear that the cost of theft is a big factor for a lot of stores and businesses for certain.
Yeah, particularly with the large guns, the publicly traded, the guys that are afraid of being sued.
Right.
I would think if it was Bob's grocery store, Bob would hog tie this guy and ensure the fact that he would never come back again.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
And word would spread through that
right.
guy's community.
Right.
That you don't mess with Bob.
Right.
Yeah. I know the county can't formally encourage anything like that.
No.
But you got to be hearing stories like that all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's always interesting how you deal with crime and what are the underlying issues for why the person's stealing? Do they really need it? Are they starving? Are they whatever? Typically not, but...
Oh, you want another story?
There are situations where people are definitely desperate, no doubt.
One of Angie's sisters is from Oregon, and Oregon, I guess, is even more lenient now than Oregon, or than California is for homeless. They'll go in and steal a case of water, drought, right? Go outside, empty it on the parking lot, and bring the bottles in for cash redemption.
Oh, Lord. Well, that's a whole nother level, isn't it?
Isn't that bizarre? I mean, the thought that would be, let alone doing it.
Well, I was doing a lot of road surveys for the Forest Service about 10 years ago out by Dinsmore up on Buck Mountain.
Okay.
And the Forest Service had put in all these culverts, and they had used aluminum. So people were stealing the culverts. You know, they're like,
yeah. For the redemption of the,
It was like, wow, okay.
Well, our industry had it with the copper grounding for AM towers.
Sure. Well, and now we've got the catalytic converter theft going on.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
For the heavy metals or whatever, the valuable metals that are in there and stuff.
Yeah, you know, so. And from your driveway.
Yeah, it's like, what a world, what a world.
Have you heard anything about where we are with getting the jail expansion? I know it's been
pending
for a while.
It is still pending. It came up yesterday. The board was asking Sheriff Hansel some questions about, for instance, could there be a training facility in there? We have been using CR for a lot of our training facility work, the gun range, as well as other perishable skills training, which was fun to learn what that meant. I thought, okay, perishable. Well, it's something that you have to do every year or every 2 years.
It's like recertification.
Yeah, so they call it perishable skills. But there were some issues with vaccinations and different things at CR. And so there was a proposal to have a contract with RMI in Eureka. They have a gun range. And
as long as it's indoor.
So anyway, it came up. The question was asked by Supervisor Bone in this jail expansion. Could we possibly fit that in? And the answer was no. We've already downsized the expansion quite a bit in order to fit within the guidelines, the money, and all that stuff. So,
yeah. Geez, how long has it been? 8 or 10 years?
Yeah. How long did the previous one take, too?
Oh.
None of this stuff. We move at glacial pace.
Seems to, you'd like to think that there would be a cattle prod somewhere in the system.
Somewhere.
To get somebody's attention.
Or a little meltdown to get the glacier moving quicker, something.
Oh, I'm sure there have been meltdowns. KINS, News and Information Time.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. So what else happened yesterday? I mean, if you're talking about the jail and the lack of.
Right.
I would suspect that air quality related issues were at least top of mind, if not top of discussion.
They were top of mind, but we didn't actually discuss it much. There was so much else on the agenda. There was a concept of having a welcome center in Southern Humboldt on a property owned by Caltrans that the county is now going to get into negotiations with them about possibly swapping some surplus property. So this is right at the county line at Cooks Valley, and it's a pretty large parcel owned by Caltrans, and it abuts up against another county parcel. So a number of hotelers in Southern Humboldt, John Porter and others, are thinking
John and the gang,
if they could have a welcome center right there at the county border, that would benefit them, but also the community by, getting people to pull off and consider what sort of vacation options they might have in Humboldt County. I, as you know, we've talked about this before, I've been working on a project called the Vista Point Park in McKinleyville to take that existing Vista Point facility, combine it with the county parcel that's on the south side, change the on and off ramp to Airport Road so you can actually get into it when you're going north. Because right now, all that money from there is heading north, and they keep going to Oregon.
There will be money. Southern Humboldt's going to get it all.
Yeah, you're right.
Didn't hear that part of the discussion, did you?
They're going to pull off there to sign up for the cannabis tour. So anyway, that was
And then forget about it. Yeah.
That was an interesting discussion to think about, you know, well, welcome centers and things
why
have changed.
Why the county? Now,
and the hotelers would run the thing, not the county.
Right, because you got the lodging association that has
it would
the
fund
revenues.
It would run it.
There's Southern
it
Humboldt's.
It would just be county property.
Southern Humboldt's.
Visitor Bureau and.
Or Chamber. I don't know what it is.
They got a bunch of things down there, yeah.
Right. So all those would be kind of coalesced into this one facility, or would
no.
they still kind of be.
Yeah, they'd be spread,
spread
out.
Out.
Yeah, it's still to be determined, right? So it's just there's an opportunity. Supervisor Fennell had gotten this discussion going, but Supervisor Bushnell has jumped right in and had meetings with stakeholders and trying to figure out how it might work, because Caltrans would like to get rid of the property. The governor had told them, I think, a couple of years ago, we need to figure out what we're doing with all this surplus property, right, and stuff. Some of it might become homeless camps, you know, or any number of other kinds
Quick,
of things.
Put in the homeless, or the,
yeah,
the
put
visitor
it right there
center.
At the entrance to the county. Hi, welcome.
Yeah.
Although, by the time they get to Eureka and spend some time in some of our motels, I'm not sure they're coming back either, frankly
right.
speaking. Because it's a little rough out there, you know, and a lot of things have kind of gone downhill. At any rate, there was a discussion about, well, how have things changed? Do people actually still go to welcome centers, right? Because most people do almost everything on their phone, you know. They Google it, you know, and search and find stuff. So there's got to be a reason.
Well, not through that part.
No. That's right.
You need the internet there.
You do. And that's why I've always thought that the idea of having this welcome center, visitor center at the Vista Point Park at the airport, at $1 million view, you know, looking out over the ocean in Trinidad, and it's right on the Hammond Trail, the coastal trail. So those are all reasons that help pull people off rather than just, it's a welcome center. You know, so what is it that's going to pull you off the highway? Right?
Now, isn't with the expansion that the airport is planning, with
yes.
Cody's stuff,
right?
Isn't there some visitor serving components?
Yes.
I mean, I know it's still pretty early. And,
it is.
But isn't that part of what their plan is to
it is.
Have a lot of that?
It is. And so there is a lot of planning going on about how to improve, expand, modify the terminal. Also the parking lot. We're going to have automated service. So when you get off your plane, you don't have to wait an hour to get out of the dang gate because it's all man, you know, it's all.
Like Santa Rosa has.
Yeah, so that'll become automated. That will be great. The parking lot will get expanded. The terminal will change. And you know how when you get off the plane, your first experience is going through that that spinny, what do you call it, turnstile thing.
Yeah, I think
or whatever.
It was a bologna meat grinder, yeah.
And then there's concertina wire on the top of the fence and stuff. So the idea might be that we might have a hollow redwood tree. That you get off the plane and you come through a hollow redwood tree.
Oh, come on now, Steve. You don't think that a good chunk of the people coming off the plane would complain about somebody cutting down a tree for the airport, and how could you do that and deal with that?
This will be a tree that's already cut down, and we'll educate them as on their way through the tunnel. They'll be like
this tree was dead already.
Speakers talking to them and stuff.
You pass that one through, Cody.
Actually, Cody thought it was a great idea.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, a bunch of us thought, yeah, how about that?
A walk-through tree rather than a drive-through.
Yeah, whatever. But at any rate, you know, the chambers are involved in the airport stuff with all the information that's passed out, and it often languishes in being tended to properly. I know Alex Stillman has been very involved in trying to help make sure that that's well-stocked and all that stuff, but I don't know too much.
Well, the FAA is an overlay also kind of makes it
Absolutely.
A little less independent decision-making. So with the Welcome Center concept in Southern Humboldt, there was the Welcome Center, California Welcome Center, in Arcata that just...
It's in a backwater.
It didn't have the numbers in a couple of different spots.
You know what they say in real estate?
Visibility.
Location.
Yeah.
It was a horrible location.
Yeah.
And the chamber gave it up after a while because it really wasn't bringing people in.
Right, and there was arguments it was too far down into the county also. That's why I was thinking perhaps rather than Vista, does Oreck have?
Oreck?
Some locations now that things are kind of starting out.
Yeah, there's four or five places that make sense at all the entrances to the county. And then this one makes sense because it's at the airport and it is expanding.
Right.
And McKinleyville is going to change its
economics. Caltrans has all this extra money.
You bet.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Steve Madrone. Steve, the concept of summertime often is a chance to catch your breath. Mm-hmm. Dollars are there for us now. We've got the Otter Controllers team is chugging away. What kind of update do we have on that?
We're making progress. You know, there's a lot of work to do in that arena. And the board has taken some pretty bold actions to make the transition happen sooner, as you know. There's a lot of backlog, a lot of work to do. And so I believe
any information starting to come out to, I mean, is 2020, is that getting close to
being
wrapped
up? We fully expect to close all those books by June 30th of this year. So it takes time, as you can imagine, to get all this stuff into order.
Don't they go 1 year at a time?
Yeah, 1920 would be first, then 2021.
Is there any timeline on that?
All of those things will be done by June.
So they're not saying that the
so there's three
by the
years.
End of October, the first year will be caught up with
no,
that?
No, but we are catching up, and so right. Every day, every week, with the hard work of this staff and our new director there, Cheryl Dillingham, they're making serious progress. And we also have Tabitha Miller, who is our chief financial officer in the CAO's office, temporarily working over there with Cheryl to help get things done, to get the numbers figured out so we can plan our budgets. Our budget's been delayed. We're finalizing it in September.
That's what I was saying. You guys have got that waiting.
We will
the state
have that.
Is waiting for something
the state,
to demonstrate specific
right.
progress.
The state is very pleased with the actions that we've taken at the county to start bringing things back into shape. And you know.
So if you don't have 1920 in line by the time you have to pass the budget, has anything really changed since the election in early June?
Yes, because now we've turned the corner and we're heading in the right direction. And it takes a while for staff to adjust to that, and that's happening. So my understanding is that we're making great progress. We're heading in the right direction. It will take some time. You know, the good news is, well, good news, bad news, right? We're so understaffed in the county departments, down 15, 20, some places 30%, to where it's almost impossible to overspend your budget when you're down that far in staffing, right? So we may not know exactly where we're at, but what we do know is that we probably did not spend all our budgets in those years because of staffing.
But isn't the risk, or the concern, I guess, rather, not the risk, that a lot of the grant funds, because it hasn't been audited, will have to be paid back? And that's kind of that big challenge that might be around the corner in the middle of the road and a big pit?
Well, if we hadn't turned this corner, yes, we were in a world of hurt with a lot of that. But we're already starting to hear from our granting sources, from the state of California, from our suppliers, people who stopped being willing to even provide us with services because
vendors,
they weren't getting paid soon enough, right? So that has all turned the corner, and people are starting to see we're making progress, confidence is building again, and as you know, we gave raises to all the county employees. We still have a lot of work to do for those that are still only making like $15.50 an hour. You know, I think there was that.
But you don't want to get in that trap again of giving raises before you know if you have the money.
That's true, but it's also true that if you don't give the raises, you're losing money on failed recruitment, failed retention,
right,
and low morale. And as an employer, you know what that costs. I mean, that's a fortune.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So there's all these things at
play.
But payday's
a bugger if you don't have it.
Well, that's, yeah, you can't do it without it. But so, you know.
So you get more certainty.
We are. And that's just going to continue in a good way over the next several months and next year or so. So,
are you able to breathe a little bit easier now?
Yeah, the board is definitely, you know, grateful for where we're heading. I mean, in all fairness, I think that Auditor Controller Karen Paz Dominguez was trying to improve how we were doing our auditing. But we had gotten into such a bad place because of lack of staffing, to be honest. The guy before her kept asking for more staffing to be able to do his job properly. Never got that, so he started shortcutting the system on how that was being done. Karen observed that, tried to bring that in shape, but you can't change those kinds of things in 1 year. You got to take the time to develop manuals so people know, here's institutionally what we expect of you, and then get everybody trained and on board to do
that. Well, and confidences too.
Absolutely, and you got to be able to manage all that. You've got to continue to communicate with other departments. So we've turned the corner.
A lot of the basics. As a residual of that whole kerfuffle.
Yeah.
Bet you didn't think that word was going to be used this morning.
I saw it a couple times the last few years. That's what, 400 points in Scrabble.
Yeah. Are there policies that the county is going to implement about how a new department head integrates? Whether you're going from number two to number one.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether you're outside coming in, as the electeds often are,
mm-hmm,
a manual on, okay, this is going to be your first 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter, or 3 or 4 weeks, or
right,
months, or whatever it takes. Even if you're an elected,
right,
you still are an employee of the county.
That's right.
Here is what has to happen.
That's right. Yeah, we are. We're working on those things, but even more importantly, our evaluation process is improved dramatically. You know, in the past,
sure, that's part of it also.
In
yeah,
the past, we were just checking boxes. And you know how that goes. People don't get to it, and then they, okay, check, 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 check.
Or it's dog and pony, and it's all very surface.
We'd have a 15-minute to a half-hour meeting with the department heads, and that was the eval. Well, we're having like 3 to 4 hour meetings now. As a board, we've had consultants come in to help us to do a 360 eval where employees provide input and all that kind of stuff, as well as other department heads. And then we're sitting down with those individuals and really going through, you know, what can be improved and how do we get there? And what do you need to be able to make those changes and get on board with that kind of improved services for the community? So
is this an annual process now or
it
biannual?
It used to be just annual, but now we're realizing that in many situations we need to be meeting quarterly with department heads and really getting feedback from them. What do they need? What are they experiencing? You know, that kind of stuff is starting to happen.
The old, how's it going?
Yeah,
yeah.
But really listening.
Really?
Imagine that.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, you said earlier in the program that while it wasn't a topic, it was on everybody's mind, the fires in Siskiyou County, and then the one that's trying to be junior Siskiyou County.
Yeah.
Was it 12 whatevers? I forget what the name of it.
12 initial strikes. Well, there's hundreds, but 12 fires on Friday,
right,
a week and a half ago.
Didn't they name it the 12-something or another?
Yeah, well, the Lightning Complex.
Okay, there you go.
Yep, and then now they've all been boiled down to two primary fires.
It's not quite as complex anymore.
Campbell and the Ammon fire.
Yeah.
And they're having a real hard time saying Ammon, not Ammon.
Yeah.
Ammon. And it's Sawyer rather than Salyer.
Salyer, yeah.
But that's always going to happen. People come in from out of the area.
You know the locals and you know those
Booner, right?
Yeah, bingo, baby. Yeah, right. Not in this lifetime.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, it's a big deal.
Now, I've heard some conflicting or some interesting adjustments. Mm-hmm. I guess yesterday, the day before, that the air quality actually went significantly better because of some of the winds, and yet Santa Rosa right. looked like London on a foggy day.
Right.
Because it's all getting blown down into there.
That's the big fire out highway, Forest Service Highway 1, out Titlow Hill, Horse Mountain, and that keeps going and becomes Highway 1 that goes all the way to South Fork Mountain.
Right.
So it's way down there, not quite to South Fork Mountain, but that smoke is heading to Willits and down
and,
south.
And down south.
Yeah,
so we've
from
got
the north wind.
We've got these fires in the train. It's not like a wheat field in Kansas.
No.
It's a little bit different.
Steep terrain.
Is the goal containment, or is the goal to try to put this out in a time that is really tough to put out fires?
There's no putting these fires out. It's on steep slopes, isolated terrain. And, of course, we had that snowdown event in Willow Creek in December.
So a lot of fuel down.
There's fuel ladders. It's just horrendous. We are so lucky the weather has been the way it is. And you don't win in both directions. Basically,
foggy.
Either there's an inversion, which dampens down the fire,
right.
allows all the fire lines to be put in, the hose lines, the everything. And then the fire is gently backing down to the line. And once you get that black up against your holding lines, now you've got containment on that edge, right?
Right.
So we've been really lucky with the weather, but it creates a horrendous health hazard for Salyer, for Willow Creek, and it varies, you know, depending on the wind direction and all that. But it's been a strong inversion most days for the last week and a half.
One of the things that I find interesting are the educational elements of this.
Yes.
What is a 5-mile-an-hour breeze?
Right.
Well, before, you know, you don't even recognize
it. No, but wind is
now you
issue.
Can see significant
right.
benefits or deterrence, right. 10, 15 miles an hour. You know, above that, we kind of all recognize
we
what's
learn
going
every
on.
Time one of these happens. And right now, I just have to say, is this wood?
Well, this is.
There we go.
That's plastic.
Bottom line is no structures lost yet, no lives lost.
Yeah, I guess they're
that
allowing people back
huge.
Into Willow Creek and,
oh, yeah.
and
yeah, they opened
Trinity
up
Village
a lot of the roads last night because they have containment in a lot of areas now, especially around Bigfoot Subdivision and
right.
out Patterson and around Salyer Heights and stuff. So that's been fantastic, and thank you so much to all these people putting their lives on the line every day to try and help us. So basically, these things won't go out till the rains come, you know, and there's a prediction for thunderstorms this afternoon. So we're just praying
right.
we don't get more dry lightning.
Well, and the other thing that we've heard also is that it's supposed to be a pretty wet winter.
Right.
Which sounds great.
Yeah.
Until we have a wet winter without any foliage on the ground.
Right.
You know, there could be.
But what's amazing about these fires, and it's kind of hard to say. Because the smoke and the hazard is so horrendous and the danger is still omnipresent, that these are actually really beneficial fires. Because the fire behavior is so mild, it's burning up a lot of debris that there's no other way to get that removed. You can't put people on those slopes. You can't long line the material out.
Yeah, there's no ROI there.
Yeah, it's inaccessible. So really, we're really lucky on some levels. But, you know, if you're breathing smoke every day, it's hard to hear that, right? So it's kind of a mixed blessing. When the smoke clears and the inversion clears, then the fire behavior gets really gnarly, but we can get the bombers in the air out of Rohnerville and out of Redding and Grass Valley, you know. And boy, on Friday when this stuff hit, I was out there watching these bombers come in. Those pilots, oh my.
It's an art, isn't it?
Those guys are daredevils.
Now, I'm surprised. I don't know if it's surprised. Disappointed, I think, would be a better term.
Yeah.
That they don't bring in the big, big airplanes out of was it the Portland area, Washington, and knock it down hard.
Yeah.
Take care of it. Don't let this thing go crazy.
Yeah.
But there's such a hesitation to use those that I guess maybe it's only for the big boy fires, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Maybe there isn't a next time. Never mind. Nice to see you, bud.
Good to see you.
See everybody tomorrow.